right, we're going to get right to it. All right, each day, each morning, all right, this is Monday, but each morning we're going to have chapel. And so we hope that you'll come in and be ready, all right? Teachers, I know it was Monday morning, so next time we need to pick up our pace and get here as fast as we can. And I know our young people were probably just like a lot of the rest of the people this morning, dragging in, but let's make sure we get here because we want to be able to get you back in the class on time. What a blessing it is to have Missions Conference. Amen. And so each day this week, we're going to hear from a different missionary, and then they're going to come in on Wednesday and Thursday to your classrooms, and you're going to get to ask questions. So if you have questions, you know, keep them, write them down, and have those things ready for when they come to class. But this morning, Brother Scott Netterville, he's going to come and speak to us this morning and bring the Word of God. How many of you got your Bibles? Let me see them. All right, hold them up high. All right. Got your Bibles? Use it this morning. Come on, Brother Scott, you preach to us.
Judges chapter 6, take your Bibles, Judges chapter 6 this morning. Good to see a good crowd here, amen. How many of y'all are here voluntarily? Very few hands there, preacher, amen. All right. I didn't know people really get up this early in the morning. I'm a missionary, and I just, we don't get up this early. All right. They're looking at me like I'm serious, brother. Judges chapter 6, if you have that, say amen. All right. The Bible says this, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel, and because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them dens, which are in the mountains, and caves and strongholds. And so it was when Israel had sown that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites and the children of the east, even they came up against them, they encamped against them, destroyed the increase of the earth till thou come unto Gaza, and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor ass, for they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude. For both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. Now, if you would, drop down to verse 11. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abiezite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. The angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, "The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." And Gideon said unto him, "O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hand of the Midianites." The Lord looked upon him and said, "Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee?" And he said unto him, "O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house." The Lord said unto him, "Surely I'll be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man." And he said unto him, "If now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me." I want to just talk for just a few minutes on this, on being a Gideon. Being a Gideon. We know the story. I think probably most of you know how that Gideon ends up defeating the Midianites with just 300 men as they took their pitchers that had a candle in it, and they break the pitchers and shout the sword of the Lord in Gideon, and end up winning a mighty battle. But I want to look at, before that battle, what was it that made Gideon usable? and see in him what can make us usable. Listen, I hope this morning you folks understand how privileged you are to be in a Christian school. Hey, not everybody has that privilege. And I would do this if I was you. I mean, starting over here at the youngest to the oldest back there in the college. Listen, you ought to have in your mind that this is training time for God to use me. You may not all end up in full-time ministry, but you ought to all end up in ministry. Say amen right there. The truth is, this is training time. And so what is it that God, if you're going to be a Gideon, what is it that God's going to look for in you so that he can use you? Quickly, let's look at verse 11. Go back over there. And there came an angel under the Lord, or an angel of the Lord sat under an oak, which was in Ophrah, and pertained unto Joash the Abizite and his son Gideon, threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. You know, the first thing I see here is this: he is busy. Can I be honest with you? God can't use a lazy person. God won't use a lazy person. Hey, some of y'all right now in class, your teachers can spot the lazy people. Might as well be honest about it. There's some of you that, your work is lacking. You could be doing better, but you just are lazy. How many of y'all have homework? How many of y'all like homework? Yeah. Hey, homework's not all that fun, but homework helps. Y'all say amen right there now. Hey, listen. The truth is, listen to me, the hand of the diligent shall bear rule, the Bible says, but the slothful shall be under tribute. I don't know about you. I want to be a leader for the Lord. Amen. And your desire ought to be a leader for the Lord. And if you're going to do that, you're going to have to learn that, hey, I'm going to have to be busy. Let me just give you a quick test, all right? Now, y'all work with me fast. I just got a few minutes. How many of y'all made your bed this morning? Raise your hand. Uh-huh. How many of you, your room is clean? Let's see. Raise your hand. Well, that's not enough. Look at all these girls down here. Fellas, do not marry these girls down here. Amen. They're not making beds. Their room's dirty. Amen. Huh? Hey, listen. Hey, start out being busy now. Learn how to work and love it. Say amen right there, fellas. Amen. All right, let's second thing I see, go to verse 15. He said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Second thing I see is this. He was a humble fellow. Verse 17, look at it there. And he said unto him, if now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. The Bible says this back in James. He said, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. He says here, I have found grace in thy sight. See, well, we know this about Gideon. He is a humble man. You know, far too many times, and I think in America, I believe in what's called American exceptionalism, that we are a very privileged people, but not because of who we are, but because of whose we are, because of the way this nation got started under the principles of God. But sometimes, we might as well be honest about it, we get to thinking more highly of ourselves than we ought. We need to be really careful about that, that we make sure that we are not proud or prideful, but that we stay humble before God. Hey, come on, let's be honest, folks. We're nothing. We are nothing. God is everything. If it were not for him, the truth is there is nothing good about us. The Bible's clear about that. And so, listen, if you're gonna be used like Gideon, you're gonna have to be found to be a humble person. Third thing I see is this. Verse 12 says, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And then down to verse 16 again, he says, and the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee. Can I say the third thing is this? Gideon had God's presence with him. He had God's presence with him. Can I say it this way? If you're going to be used of God, you're going to have the touch of God upon your life. We would say it this way in the New Testament age. You need the filling of the Holy Spirit of God. We've kind of gotten away from that kind of preaching today to where we preach on having the fullness of the Holy Spirit of God. But you listen to me. The truth is, folks, we need to be controlled by the Spirit of God. Our flesh is the enemy of God. And far too many times we allow our flesh to control our decisions. And listen, teachers, even as these young kids are coming up, they need to hear that phrase of the filling of the Holy Spirit of God. You folks that are in junior high and high school, college, you listen to me. You better work at being filled with the Holy Spirit of God, because your flesh wants to determine what you do, and your flesh is in opposition to God. Your flesh is the enemy of God. You need the fullness of the Holy Spirit of God so that you can be used. See, you'll not be used of God until you yield to God, until you say to him, in effect, now, I don't necessarily like the word altogether, but in effect, you're going to have to say to God, I surrender. God, I'm yours. Not my will, but thine. Even Christ did that. And folks, we need the filling of the Holy Spirit of God. Real quick, Acts chapter 4 and verse 13. I'm just going to read that. You can turn over there if you want to. This is what it says. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Said, I'd ask it like this morning. Did you walk with Jesus this morning? Before you came down here to school, did you spend a little time with Jesus? A lot of you came down here saying, well, I'm going to chapel, and so that'll be my time. No. I'm talking about personal time. Hey, teachers, did you spend time with Jesus this morning before you came down here to be an example for these kids? Amen. See, we need to make sure, teachers, that's why you're here, to be an example, not just to teach by word, but to teach by lifestyle. We need to understand this morning. Listen, it is a must that we have upon our lives the fullness of the Spirit of God. Have that touch of God that uses us as his vessels and for his glory. Let me close with this. Go to verse 15 again there in Judges 6. Says this, and he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? I mean, we obviously can see the humility of Gideon here. But the thought is this. Never discount or underestimate your usefulness for God. Never discount your usefulness for God. Sometimes we get to thinking, we really do. What can God do with me? Can I be honest with you? See, I'm just a 60s, 70s drug head from Houston, Texas that has no business being here. Don't understand why. I don't get it why God would use me. But it never underestimate the usefulness that God has for you. Sometimes we get to thinking, who am I? Well, I can't do nothing. Can I say it this way? With God, all things are possible. Amen. And when I look at myself, I just think, man, God, why? God, how? He says, that's all right. With God, all things are possible. He did say this, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Amen. But never discount, ladies, never discount, fellas, your usefulness, how God can use you. As we really do, this world tends to push us down. We need to be leaders for the Lord Jesus. That means we need to stand up for him. That means we need to allow him to use us. And I'm sure your pastor would say, me, follow Mickey Carter? Would you have ever thought, preacher? I'll be honest with you, man, for me to be able to preach at Landmark Baptist Church is an honor for me. I think, wow. I told my wife last night when we left, I got to preach at Landmark. I'm not worthy of that. But I thank God that he'll use me in spite of me. Hey, we need to be Gideons for Christ's sake in a lost world. We need leaders that God can use.
Preacher. It's about us.